DARPA, NIH, and the FDA are joining forces to create a special chip that will test the toxicity of drugs. Now, it's a chip that will be loaded with specific cell types that somehow reflect human biology. The National Institutes of Health director, Dr. Francis Collins, joins us now live to explain this partnership and the significance of this project. Dr. Collins, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Amy. Good morning.
So this is a computer chip?
No, it's a chip that will be loaded up with human cells, but it has some of the same engineering features as a computer chip in terms of stealing ideas from all over the place to make this happen. And this is pretty ambitious. One might even say audacious. The idea is to try to come up with an approach that would be more reliable and more cheap and more efficient to identify drugs that are going to be safe for human use and identify those that probably won't be. And, of course, this is a very important part of drug development and one where many projects end up failing because of this toxicity problem. The way we've been doing that kind of testing in the past for many years depends on animal testing, but we think we might be able to do better if we had a chip that was appropriately loaded with human cells and we had some very sophisticated readouts to tell us whether those cells were happy or not when they were exposed to a particular drug.
I guess chips instead of chimps. Now, before we get into more specifics, I wanted to ask you about the collaboration among federal agencies that is making this happen. Tell us about how that's set up.
Well, we're very excited to work with DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency of DOD. That is, of course, the agency that brought us the internet and GPS and a whole bunch of other exciting technology advances. And NIH, as the world's largest supporter of biomedical research, has expertise in the tissue engineering and the cell readout kind of technology that's going to be necessary for this to work. So we're putting our staffs together in a project which is going to have $70 million from DARPA and $70 million from NIH over 5 years to build something that will be quite revolutionary in its ability to assess safety of compounds. This can be used, of course, for drug development. If it works really well, it would also be a very valuable resource for testing for environmental toxins as well.
Now, I know that FDA and NIH have worked together. That makes perfect sense. But you don't usually think of NIH working with DARPA. How unusual is that partnership?
Well, we've had informal relationships for quite a long time. DARPA has this very flexible way of supporting projects where they can bring resources quickly to bear on a project that's going well, and they can also quickly kill a project that clearly is missing milestones. NIH aims to try to adopt some of those project management capabilities, and it looks promising that we may be actually given some of those authorities in FY12. So it's a great chance for these two different parts of the government, both devoted to technological advances, to learn from each other, work together, and get the best of both to benefit the public.
And are you creating a special program office? Will people be tasked full-time for this task to develop the chip?
Certainly from NIH's perspective, we're funding this through something called the Common Fund, which is a resource that is used for high-risk, high-reward research that doesn't touch on just one disease but could touch on all diseases, and there will be staff devoted to this. And DARPA has their plan managed by a project manager who's full-time devoted to pulling together all the resources necessary, be they from academia or small companies, in order to make the project a success. It's very flexible.
We are talking with Dr. Francis Collins. He is the director of the National Institutes of Health. Is this going to be an expensive project to get into? I know everybody, even NIH, having to really tighten those economic belts right now.
Certainly true, and we all recognize that this is a difficult time for support of research when it's coming from the taxpayers' dime, but I think that would be very unfortunate to look at this situation and simply hunker down and wait for a better time to happen. We are committed to innovation. We're committed to looking for new opportunities to bring branches of science together that can now talk to each other in interdisciplinary ways and come up with exciting developments and inventions like this. So even though the times are tough, we're determined to put significant resources into this between the two agencies, as I said, $140 million over 5 years, to see what we could do to really create an entirely new paradigm for toxicity testing.
Now, try to paint a picture for us. You mentioned a chip that would be loaded with human cells. That's a difficult thing to visualize.
Well, all of this, it does require some very sophisticated tissue engineering. Basically, imagine that you have a small cassette, and inside that cassette, you have cells that are essentially representing liver or heart or muscle or kidney, all the tissues that we know in humans are particularly vulnerable to drug toxicities. And you have them arranged so that there's even some crosstalk between them. They're organized into three-dimensional structures, so they're as close as you can get outside of a human into representing human physiology. And then you float over that. Some test compound, the chip is also loaded with all sorts of sensors to allow you to tell whether those cells have changed their gene expression or they changed the metabolites that they're putting forward as a signal whether this is happy or not happy. And, of course, we can tune that chip by testing compounds where we know the answer because we have a long list of compounds that we know are safe and others that we know are not safe. So by teaching the chip from that kind of known set of compounds, we should then be able to apply at the unknowns and get pretty reliable results.
The way you describe it, I just can't help thinking of Star Trek or Battlestar Galactica and Cylons and bio-humanoid computer mashups. I realize that this is just the germ of an idea and there's a lot of work to be done, but
yeah.
Clearly your enthusiasm is coming through. This is space-age stuff.
It is space-age stuff, and it's something to celebrate and be excited about. It's not the kind of science we could have contemplated 5 years ago. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's not going to take over the world. Don't worry.
Oh, that's you say that now.
But as a way of being able to speed up the process of developing new treatments for patients who are waiting for something that will help them with a disease, whether it's a rare one or a common one, this is a very important step forward. Currently, you know, it takes about 15 years to go from the kernel of an idea about a new therapeutic to actually getting it approved. And one of the big bottlenecks is this testing for toxicity. We want to actually knock that down.
Now, some of that $140 million that the two agencies will put up, will some of that go to challenge grants to reach out to different segments of the industry to see what they can come up with?
Absolutely. DARPA has already issued their broad agency announcement, which puts out the challenge. And specifically, I think they're hoping to see lots of responses from small businesses that have this kind of technology to come forward. NIH will be issuing our request for applications in the fairly near future, and all of this is going to be tightly coordinated. DARPA will focus particularly on the engineering aspects. We'll focus particularly on the biology aspects, but obviously both of them have to succeed for this project to be a winner.
And you mentioned that the development of the drug itself often takes 15 years and that this will help shorten that window. How long will it take to develop this, or is there any way to tell?
It's really hard to say at this point. We've mapped it out as a five-year project, and obviously that means it's going to take some time to get the pieces together and see how they work. But, I'm an optimist. I would love to see it go even faster if there's some way to do so. If we can pull in the best and brightest minds in these fields, get them to work together, who knows what might happen.
So if drugs take 15 years now, most of that is in the testing phase, if I'm correct. So what this project will do is cut off that tail.
It is an important part of that very long process. We have a number of other bottlenecks that NIH is now specifically focused on trying to address as well. In fact, we have a proposal, which is waiting for congressional appropriation, to start a new National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. And that would include this project with DARPA and a number of others that address other places in this pipeline where things tend to get stuck or to fail.
Would that be a new center, part of the Institutes of Health, like a whole new thing like the National Cancer Institute or NHLBI?
It would join the roster of the 27 institutes and centers as the newest kid on the block.
So what's the timeline for that, or does that require congressional approval at this point?
So that has been put forward by Secretary Sebelius for approval, and it simply awaits a congressional appropriation. The Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Monday, when they did their markup for NIH, strongly endorsed the startup of NCATS, which is the abbreviation for the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. And the full committee in their markup yesterday also strongly supported this. It awaits, though, House action. As you know, the FY12 budget is a bit up in the air at the moment.
We've heard.
The administration has been very strongly supportive. The president highlighted NCATS in his speech last Friday when he was talking about the new patent law.
Well, we'll have to have you back when that thing gets stood up and tell us what's going on there.
I'd love to tell you more about that.